The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Well, good morning, church. And good morning to friends or families that are here today. I hope everyone is well. So I was given an opportunity to quickly share a message, what Christmas means to me, which was meant to be shared last week, but this week is fine. So what does Christmas mean to me? Christmas means the world to me. It means a lot to me. It means God or Satan. It means heaven or hell. It means life or death. And it means truth or error. Christmas means a lot to me. But the main point I want to share about Christmas is about giving and also receiving. You know, because I want to read a text from you, a scripture from you. The best or one of the most famous and popular scripture is John 3:16. So if you have your Bible, might you turn there? So this is a beautiful scripture about giving and receiving. So it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, Jesus Christ." So I just want, for all those Christians, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, about giving and receiving, we have to give. We have to give generously and sparingly. God loves a cheerful giver. And as we have received from God salvation already, we should also give the gospel or the good news to others as well. But also we have to also give for the physical needs, for whatever they require. And what I want to share is that when we give, okay, most people, the world gives to their friends and their family, to those that they love, that they care for, to those that have been nice to them or has treated them well. But we are to go beyond that. We are to give to the poor, to the needy, to the outcasts of society, to the lowly of society, or those that are looked down upon. So we have to give with this kind of love. This is called agape love, that loves unconditionally. And I just want to encourage everyone here to give like that. You know, it's good to give presents to family and friends, to say thank you for what they've done or what they've been to us in our life. But let us give to the poor. Because God has taught us not to forget the poor. And I want to share a testimony what happened to me yesterday. I went to a friend's barbecue. My friend here, Bruce, he invited me to a friend's barbecue for the Cambodian Association of Victoria. But before I went to the barbecue, I met a young lady. She's Indian as well. But she was addicted to drugs, or she was high or something. And I saw her, and I saw another gentleman as well. They both, were in bad condition. But when I see them, and most people when they see them, they are afraid to approach them. They are scared because they don't know what these people are capable of doing or what they will do to you to harm you because they are not right in their own mind. But God told me to go and speak to them and ask them if they were hungry. And they said they were hungry, so I gave them a hamper. But I was able to share to them and speak to them and share the gospel to them as well. But when I gave them the hamper, she cried, she wept, because she felt like she didn't deserve this gift. You know, she felt like she did nothing good. She's not worthy to receive any gift at all. But I was able to share her, to help her with physical needs, because she was hungry, but also I was able to share the gospel to her and show her that God loves her, but hates the sin that she commits. Because God loves the whole world, but he hates the sin that every one of us commits. That's why Jesus had to pay that penalty that cost him his life. That all that whoever believes him shall have eternal life. So we were brought at an expensive price. So let's not forget that. Let us remember that. Like Russell said, come to the communion table. Let us open our eyes and see that truth. Yes, that we hope that we have, the joy that we have. Now we know that we have received the gift of Christ, his son Jesus Christ, that we have eternal life, and that's the gift that we should also share to our friends and family, but also those who are not accepted by society. Yeah, those tax collectors, those prostitutes, those drug addicts, alcoholics, whoever they are. Let us not be afraid to go and approach them and give them something, but also share the gospel with them. Because God tells us, do not fear, have courage. I am with you. Go and share the gospel, yeah? He will never leave us, forsake us. So when we see those drug addicts on the streets or alcoholic or those people, have no fear. God is with us. And go there and share the gospel with them. Also feed them. Yes, I just want to share that to you. So Christmas, the meaning of Christmas for me is about giving and also receiving. But once we receive the gift, yeah, we have to appreciate it, yeah? Okay, God's grace will not be appreciate it or will not be worth anything if we don't accept it. Yeah? So accept it with a lot of joy and appreciate it and thank God always for it. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Amen. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Yes. We also brought a cake to share for afternoon tea. The cake is just to say a big thank you to Springvale South Church of Christ for accepting the Cambodian brothers and sisters. Yes, we also want to say a big thank you for the church. And the cake is from all the Cambodian Bible study group. So we appreciate and we love you, and hopefully you can enjoy the cake. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's been a pleasure to have our Cambodian brothers and sisters. It's been a year. Can you believe it? How quickly time flies. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, today, it's going to be an informal service. I've got a message there, but I'll keep that message. But it's just to get people to share in a few words, what does Christmas mean to me? In a world where Christmas is celebrated so wrongly, you know, they dwell so much on the presents and the festivities and getting drunk and stuff like that, but they forget the real meaning of Christmas. So I've got a few people lined up today. I'll get Russell now to come. Russell, to share a few things, and I've got Tola after that, and then I've got Rosalind after that. So in a few words, we're going to hear from all these what Christmas means to them. And time permitting, I might open it for others who wants to share as well.
Yeah. Thanks, man. When Glenn mentioned this to me, I thought, gee, this is a great question. What does Christmas actually mean to me? Let's find out. So I went to work, and I asked a few people. I said, what does Christmas mean to you? Ah, it's a good day to get a booze up. It's just a holiday, yeah. And then Boxing Day's even better, you get to recover. All right. I asked someone, what does Christmas mean to you? I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Oh, I said, well, you celebrate April Fool's Day. Because all the atheists celebrate on that day. Because that's what the Bible says in Psalm 41. Only a fool in his heart doesn't believe in God. But it's funny, the reactions, you know, it's a good day to open presents. We're living in a commercialized world, you know. It's a world full of commercialization and greed. And it's also a time to visit the family, open up gifts, exchange presents, greetings, cut the turkey or whatever. But what's the real meaning of Christmas? So I actually wrote down a few pointers. Four key words that will probably give you an answer. The first one is joy. You see, Christmas, the angels, when the angel came to the shepherds, isn't it funny, he came to the shepherds, he didn't come to the Sanhedrin, or he didn't come to the big boys, came to the simple people. Simple message. Do not be afraid, I bring you tidings of great joy. Great joy, that's it. Christmas joy is the joy the world knows nothing about. The Bible puts it like this in 1 Peter 1:8. It says it's a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Peter puts it like this. He says, even though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you have not seen him now, you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. The second thing I realized was hope. Christmas means hope. It's a purpose. The whole human race is actually plunged into a quagmire of sin. Quagmire, like that? I found it in the dictionary. In Romans 8, the apostle says this, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. But if we were to have hope for what we do not have, then we wait patiently for it. This is the hope that sustains us as believers. It comforts us at the grave. And we have a hope of forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God. The third thing I realized was Christmas means peace. In Luke it says, peace and goodwill towards men. John says this, my peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, and let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a peace that sustains all understanding. Today the world is screaming out for peace. Wherever you go, you're listening to wars, you're hearing stories of wars and earthquakes and tremors and pestilence and hunger everywhere. But we have a great peace, knowing that we have a great God. And finally, Christmas means salvation. Jesus came to die for our sins, to born and to die for us. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And now, friends, I'm going to share with you something. See, the cradle of Bethlehem cannot be separated from the cross of Golgotha. They go together. You know, that's what Christmas means to me. Today you can rejoice as we celebrate the birth of Christ. You can stand in awe and weep at the cross. You can kneel at the cross. You can rejoice at the empty grave. But most of all, you can have a hope that nobody else dares to have unless they're a believer in Christ. That's what Christmas means to me. It means joy, hope, peace, and salvation. Thank you.
I get Rosalind up.
What does Christmas mean to me? I love the Christmas season. I love everything that goes with it. And I know, you know, there's commercial and what have you, but I'm talking about what it means to me. And I love to see all the decorations in the shops. And I've got a star on the outside of my house. It's really bright. And three of my neighbours, they turned their lights on last night. And I just love it. And I stood out on my patio because I'm up a bit. And just looking at the decorations, it's just such a terrific time. And I love to see the decorations in the shopping centres and hearing the Christmas carols. And for a year they were silenced a bit. And a couple of times I've looked for the centre management of the shopping centre and made time to go and ask to speak to the manager and to thank them for having Christmas carols, and I say there's so many of us who love them. Thank you for coming out from under political correctness. There's many of us who love the Christmas carols. And I always say thank you. And then I love waking up on Christmas morning. Now, we used to have a couple of leaders. This is before Larry's time, and when Ron White was our pastor, and I always had the Christmas service, and a couple of the leaders, the men, would come up to me and say, "Oh, I felt so sorry for you waking up on your own at Christmas morning." And I think, that's not my experience. I'm not saying that there was someone with me when I say that. I sense the presence of the Lord on Christmas morning because it's the start of it all. My Saviour born, and we celebrate it for Christmas Day. And then I love waking up on Good Friday and Easter because I know before the foundation of the earth, God had said, "Rosalind, you are mine." And I just love waking up on Christmas Day. I'm always with family for lunch, and this year we're going down to about 18 of us of the family are going down to celebrate Christmas Day, nearly said Easter, celebrate Christmas lunch and tea at Trafalgar, where one of my nieces is down there. I love the food. And last year I made sure I didn't overeat because you come home feeling very poor. And I stopped myself overeating. I plan to do the same this year. Everything about Christmas, the celebrations, the birth of my Saviour, I love it. Bring on Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. While Tola's making his way, I want to remind those who are not doing anything on Christmas Day, have nowhere to go, family, you're welcome to our home once again. Is that right? Just let Carol know so we can tell you to bring the turkey and the ham. I'm kidding. Come the way you are. There's absolutely no expectations at all.
Well, you know, it's a little bit difficult to adjust the topic. Well, what does Christmas mean to me? You know, it's not difficult in explaining what Christmas means. I think the difficult part was actually trying to share what it means in such a different way compared to what Anthony, Russell and Rosalind were sharing last week, as well as what Carol was sharing last week. So try not to step on each other's toes. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, well, how can I share the message of Christmas, what it truly means to those of us here this morning. And obviously the majority of us here have already mentioned what Christmas means, and so more or less it will be more of a reinforcing message, not particularly from what it means to me, but more what it means from the eyes of the Scriptures, what God wants us to know according to His Word. Next visual, please. Oh, visual's on. I think our computer needs an upgrade. Well, while we're waiting for the PowerPoint to come on, I'll just go ahead and share what really God has put in my heart, and really it should be for every Bible-believing Christian as to what Christmas really means. Now, in short, Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about God who faithfully fulfills what He has promised to the world, and that is the promise of salvation to each and every one of us who believe, and that salvation is in God Himself. But you know, we need to ask ourselves the question, in this 21st century, is it really that way now, the way we celebrate Christmas? Are we really celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? The true meaning of His birth, are we actually celebrating that? Now, at Christmas, I am reminded of God's faithfulness, God's faithful promising that He would fulfill what He promised in the times of Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve fell. And I'm just reminded of such a great promise that dated back about 6,000 years ago. It's such a joy and a peace to know that God is able to fulfill what he has promised. Next official, please. And we know that Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But how many people actually know who Jesus Christ is? As Bible-believing Christians, yes, we do know who Jesus is. But do we know who he is and who he was before his birth? And that's the question that we need to remind ourselves. 735 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the one who will be born on this day would be God himself. Next visual, please. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." How many of us even know the name Emmanuel? How many of us know what it means? It means God with us. And the story that we all have heard about a little baby infant born on Christmas Day, was born in a manger named Jesus, was God himself. The Almighty God who in the beginning of Genesis 1:1 created the heavens and the earth, and everything that was created on the earth was created by him. The God of the universe took on flesh and blood, just like what you and I have, flesh and blood. Cut me and I'll bleed. Flesh and blood, that's what God did on Christmas Day. Next visual, please. Isaiah 9:6 says that, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is what I love about Christmas. God makes it known to us through his word. It isn't made known to us in such a mystery or in some sort of hidden way, but God has revealed it to us from the scriptures. And the Bible says that he's going to come down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And so when I think about Christmas, I think about the mighty God who would do, you know, such a thing for us. And I mean, you know, I mean, could you imagine at the time of the fall, you know, when God said, you know what, I'm going to make a promise, I'm going to send to you a Savior. Could you imagine what the angels were probably thinking? Could you imagine the angels, you know, saying to themselves, you know, you know, if imagine a fellow angel thinking, "Hey, do you think, you know, God's for real? Do you think God is for real?" I mean, could you imagine the angels just asking themselves that question: "Is God for real?" Think about a time when you were caught surprise. You were caught by surprise. How many of us have ever been caught by surprise? Plenty of time, isn't it? You know, when we're caught by surprise, we think, "Whoa, hey, hang on, are you guys for real?" You know, it kind of like a shock, you know, it comes out of nowhere. You guys, "Whoa, are you for real?" Could you imagine? That's what the heavenly host will probably be thinking. "Hey, is God for real?" Next visual, please. I mean, is he for real? And the angels are probably pointing back to the earth and saying, look, you know, look what they're doing to the earth. Are you for real? You're going to become a man? That's the question that they'll probably be, they were asking themselves. Is he for real? You know, I'm reminded in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Even the angels long to look into the mystery of this salvation." Even the angels long, desire to know this. And I love, you know, knowing that God is in control of all things. He's absolutely, perfectly controlling all things. In the same year as Isaiah was prophesying at 735 years, the prophet Micah also prophesies the actual location of his birth and who this child would be and who he is and was. Next visual, please. Micah 5:2 says that, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. The one who will be born on this Christmas day is the same person who came from eternity. And that is God himself. You know, before anything was created, God was there. You have Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So in the beginning, before God created anything, there was God already. And so the one who would come to us as a man came from eternity, and that is God himself. And a lot of people think that God is incapable of becoming a human. I mean, they believe that God can, you know, that God won't do such a thing, or think that it's impossible that God would do such a thing. You know, just as the angels were probably thinking that way, you know, that, you know, God must be out of his mind. To become a man is beyond any human comprehension. Next visual, please. How many of us come from an ethnic background who had a monarchy system, apart from our Cambodian folks? Yeah, we all had monarchies, didn't we? Well, this is a story of Cambodia's greatest king. I think he died last year or 2 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you know, one of the biographies that were written about him was how he came down to his local people. You know, a king would actually leave his own palace and come down to his own local people. And he would come down and help these local people. He's willing to be a part of the people by helping them with agriculture, with farming, with cultivating soil. He came and he helped. You know, and he would even greet, you know, just the common people, you know, with such warmth, and he would also distribute gifts to the local people, the people who were also less fortunate. Now, the question is, if an earthly king is able to do such a thing, how much greater is our God who would do such a thing? Next visual, please. You see, if an all-powerful God, creator God, cannot come up with a plan for saving humanity from their sins, would he be worthy of such a title as to be called God? Would he or would he not? If God is incapable of becoming a human being, then certainly he's not my God. Because the God that I believe in is the God of the Bible who can do all things. He has to be so great that he can do anything that he pleases. If he's got the power to create the universe by the power of his word, then obviously he's powerful enough to become a man. And that's what he did on Christmas Day. God became a man. And he took on human flesh, human form, just like you and I, physical form, born of a virgin, you know, born as an infant. God didn't take any shortcuts. He took the natural process of development from being a fetus to an infant to a grown man. He took every process, every developing process that you and I go through in life. The one true God who created everything by the power of his word became a human being. You know, and that's what we really need to reflect on, that the baby that we are reminded of on Christmas Day is Jesus Christ, who was God himself. I love what the Gospel of John 1:1 says, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, you have the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, and that name Jesus, that name there is such a very important meaning. In Isaiah 7:14 gave us the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We have the name Jesus, which means God who saves. And we have Christ, meaning the Messiah, or chosen, or the anointed one. So you will put it together, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, God who saves, and Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one whom God would make that bridge possible. It's Jesus Christ. Next visual, please. Those tiny hands and feet that was born on this Christmas day, next visual please, were the same hands and feet that would be pierced on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. It is our sin that actually separated us from God, that condemned us forever into eternal hell. No amount of good works or good deeds could actually get us into heaven. It had to be through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross that made it possible for us. So although we celebrate on Christmas, on this particular Sunday, and this during this coming up 3 days, we have to be reminded that Jesus himself was God. God with us, God who saves us, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's calling us. He's calling us to believe in him. He's calling us to have faith in him because he is God, the one true living God. And John 14:6 says, the way, the truth, and the life. And by believing and trusting in him, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we can receive forgiveness and receive eternal life. God makes salvation so simple beyond any human thinking that all he wants is faith. All he wants is for you to believe in him. God's not going to ask you, go and sacrifice yourself. You must do this, do this, do this, do this. No, God says, come to me, believe in me, and you will receive eternal life. Just as Anthony was sharing from John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes will receive eternal life. It's such a simple plan of salvation for God. God who always initiates the first step for all things to be possible made through him in Jesus Christ. And that's what Christmas means. That's what Christmas means from the scriptures. And we ought to go to the scriptures and believe what it means, because God is faithful, God is true, and he's made that known to us through his word. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.